as I was preparing this month, for some reason, you've noticed probably through COVID, it's a little different in that I don't give you the titles for the whole month, you know. I just feel like all through COVID, God has been giving me manna week by week. And I literally did not know the title for my message today when Dave was preaching last week. God's like, daily bread, daily bread, daily bread. And so as I was preparing this week, I kept hearing in my spirit the phrase, there is no other. There is no other. One King, there is no other. So I looked it up, as I do. You know how I do. If I hear something in my spirit, I research it and I look at it. And I found the Bible says that phrase, there is no other, 18 times. And most of them are God speaking of himself. I am the Lord your God. There is no other. And I don't think that means that he's unaware that we make other things gods. I think what he's saying is there's no one like me. There's no one beside me. There's no one equal to me. There is no other. And so that's the title of my message today. But I want to pray before I begin. God, I thank you. I thank you that you are the God who is and there is no other. And so, God, you know my heart. I want to share what you've given me to share today, but I know that my ability stops so far short. Only your spirit can open our hearts and minds to receive what you want us to receive today. And that might be something different for every person in the room. So, God, I lean on you. I am heavily, heavily dependent on you. And I like it that way. So do what you do. Do what you do, Lord. Amen. Amen. So as we talk about one King today, there is no other, I want to answer two questions. And I can't answer them comprehensively because that would take the rest of my life and beyond, to infinity and beyond, as Buzz Lightyear used to say. Can't do that. But I'm gonna look at two different questions. The two questions we're going to look at today is, who is God? If he is one King, who is God? Who is God? Right? And today, we're going to stay in one chapter of the Bible, Isaiah 44. We're not all over the place today. Sometimes I like to go all over the place, but today we're going to hone in on Isaiah 44, the first few verses only. So if you want to look in your Bible app or on a hard copy, or you want to use the screen, whatever is good with me, we're going to look at Isaiah 44. And first, in considering the question, who is God, we're going to look at verses 1 and 2a. 2a means the first part of 2, okay? God is speaking here, and he says this, "Now listen to me, my servant Jacob, Israel, my chosen one. I am Yahweh, your creator who shaped you in my womb." Some translations, probably more translations than not, don't say, "I am Yahweh." They say, "I am Lord," in all caps. Your translation might have that. Because the letters that represent Yahweh, that we pronounce Yahweh, in olden times, the Jewish people felt that name was so sacred and so holy, they didn't want to take a chance on writing one of the letters incorrectly, so they wouldn't even write that name or say that name for fear they would say it incorrectly. So instead they substituted the word Lord, Adonai, or Jehovah. Jehovah, okay? It's all the same thing. That word is used over 6,000 times in Scripture. It's the most often used word in understanding who is God. You might have heard me say before that it means, "I am who I am. I am who I've always been. I am who I always will be." But there's more to it than that, even. If I ask you, what is ice cream, what would you tell me? You would tell me the ingredients. Yahweh is kind of like that, but much, much, much bigger, obviously. It's not like I can just say, well, Yahweh is Yahweh. It's bigger than that. There are a lot of elements to it. It means present to act in salvation. Present to act in salvation, but not limited to salvation. It means accessible. We took communion today. God is accessible. It means this. Oh, I love this one. Involved in the human struggle. Not some distant God who's shaking his head going, what a mess. Those little memes on Facebook kind of get on my last nerve, where they show Jesus as being out of patience with us. That's not Jesus for me. He never runs out of patience. It's not like that. It's not like God has been shocked by the human struggle. You know, it's not like that. But he is involved in the human struggle. Jesus called himself the I Am on several occasions in the New Testament, and the Jewish people, the religious leaders, lost their minds over it. They were like, he just said he was equal with God. They didn't like it. So there's a lot of weight to that name Yahweh, Yahweh. Hopefully you're not remembering. What was that movie? I can't remember. Yahweh. You remember that movie? Anyway, hopefully it's not like that. But think of the word Yahweh and what it represents. Involved in the human struggle, accessible. And then God says, I'm your creator. Listen, I take a lot of comfort from the fact that God is my creator. I am not here by accident. I'm not just some blob that appeared. I am chosen and created by God. You were created to be by God to be alive in this moment in time. Maybe he knew the world needed a beacon of hope and light. And so he said, I'm going to put Fred on the earth to be alive at this time because he can shine my light in a way that not many people can. Who is God? He is Yahweh. He is creator. What does God say in verses 2 through 5? Hear what I have to say to you. Don't fear. How many times? It's not 365 times. I wish that were true, but it's not. That's a Christian myth. Do not fear, but do not fear once is enough for me when it's coming from God. Do not fear. I will help you, O Jacob, my servant. Do not fear. Whoops, there it is again. My pleasing one, Israel. I will pour refreshing water on the thirsty and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your children, my blessing upon your descendants. They will spring up like grass, blanketing a meadow, like poplars growing by gushing streams. One will say, I belong to Yahweh. There's a tattoo for you. I belong to Yahweh. Another will be called Jacob. Yet another will write on his hand, property of Yahweh. Or there's another tattoo, property of Yahweh. Another will adopt the name Israel. So what does God say? God says, don't be afraid. God says, I will help. I am involved. I will help. I will pour out my spirit on your children, my blessing on your descendants. One king can say that. No one else can say that. Not it'd be true. That's what he says. Here's the thing. Our peace is only as secure as where we place it. Seems somewhat secure, right? But my cat has knocked this over before. My little 2-pound cat, tiny little cat. She has knocked it down before. This, not this. Well, moments. She knocked over a plant this week, and I'm like, not very steady. A little bit of shaking, and my peace gets shaken. So I go, okay, not a good place for my peace. 2020 has been a year of revealing what the bad places are for our peace. What a beautiful gift. So we go, okay, we're going to do the card table instead. That's a safe place for my peace. It's got four legs, not three. It's a little bit less shaky. Probably my cat couldn't knock this over. But the problem is, in 2020, life came along. If I can do this. Can I do it? Maybe I'm going the wrong way. Yeah, there we go. Life came along and did that. And I'm like, ah! Okay. And if I'm being real, probably three of the legs are gone at this point, right? And so all of our energy has been on this. Got to keep my peace balanced. I'm hungry. I can't eat. I'm tired. Can't sleep. Because my peace is in trouble, right? The only place that our peace is secure is in our one King. That's the only place. Now, if a tornado came along and took out the platform, that would be in trouble. But that's not where my peace is. My peace is not on the platform. My peace is in our one King. How? How do I have peace in our one King? Because I listen to who He is and I listen to what He says. When He tells me He's Yahweh, I believe Him. When He tells me I created you, I planned for you to be in existence at this time, on this day in history, I believe Him. Moving on, who is God? Verse 6, the words of Yahweh, there it is again, Israel's true King and kinsman redeemer, Yahweh, commander of angel armies, says, I am the beginning and the ending. I am the only God there is. There is no other. He's King. That means He's the sovereign ruler, not just of a country, but of all creation. That which we know and that which we don't know. He is King. Kinsman, Redeemer. I love that God calls Himself that. Because that was a person who had both the privilege and the responsibility to act on behalf of a relative who was in trouble, who was in danger, who is in need of vindication. The Kinsman, Redeemer was both privileged and responsible to intervene. So that's a big deal that God calls Himself that. But this one, the next one, gets me. Yahweh host, Lord of hosts, your translation might say. Commander of angel armies. That's used 285 times in Scripture. Commander of angel armies. This was both a military title and a royal title. So imagine this. The King is down in the battle, but He's also directing the battle. God says, I am the beginning. I am the ending. Right now, maybe just in the last 24 hours, as I behold my one King, I feel like the Lord has given me a task. You want to know what it is? I'm not saying it's your task. I'm saying that's what He's calling me to do. To find a way to search for and find a way to celebrate with those who are celebrating. At the same time, I am searching for and finding a way to mourn with those who are mourning. I didn't say it was easy, and I didn't say I figured it out. When my kids were growing up, they loved to go to buffets. Now I have 3 sons, and they are big boys. They're all over 6 feet tall, and they are big boys. And feeding them when I had 3 teenagers in my house who were all boys, feeding them was a challenge. It was a challenge, a joyful challenge, but a challenge. But they loved to go to buffets, and I liked it because I could pay one flat fee. I didn't like buffets. I can't eat what it cost. It's not worth it for me financially at all. But my boys could eat their weight in food, right? So it was always a winner for me financially and for them physically to go to a buffet. But when we would go to a buffet, we didn't get everything that was placed out. We got those things we liked. Does that make sense? I didn't fill up 20 plates and put something of everything on the plates. I was like, ooh, that looks good. Have a little bit of that. Oh, that looks good. Think I'll have some of that. Why do we think if we're going to celebrate those who are celebrating or mourn with those who are mourning that we have to take the whole buffet? Why can't we just find one little thing we can celebrate about and one little thing we can mourn about and somehow stop the chaos of the divided states of America? We have to find a way. And if Christians don't understand that He is the beginning and He is the ending, that He is the one true King, that He is Yahweh, we will never be able to come to that place. We need to be leading the way in this day. What a beautiful opportunity for us to lead the way. And then God says, I am the only God there is. There is no other. And then answering the question again, what does God say? After saying that, what does He say in verses 7 and 8? Who is like me? Go ahead, stand up and speak up. I'll wait for Him to announce it and explain it all to me. God has a sense of humor. If you don't hear it in that verse, read it again. Who else has announced from everlasting what is to come? God says, listen, I have told you from the beginning of time what is going to be in the future. Do you know many of the prophetic words in Isaiah took about 400 years to be fulfilled? Weren't even fulfilled in the person's lifetime who prophesied them. And probably a lot of people said, well, that's a false prophet. He said this and it never happened. Because we get so myopic in our view. Let him prophesy what is yet to be. Do not fear nor be shaken. Haven't I foretold it, announcing it to you ahead of time? You are my witnesses, so tell me, is there any other God beside me? There is no other, and he gives himself another name here, Rock of Shelter. I know not one. He is our one King. This is where our attention should be right now. This is where. I am thankful for every leg that got knocked out in 2020. Why? Because I learned the safe place for my peace. That's why. I already had recorded this sermon for Facebook on Friday, and this morning I was watching a message on YouTube that I can't remember his name now. I'd never heard him speak before. And he starts going into the book of Job, which is one of my favorite books of the Bible. It sounds crazy, but it really is amazing. And he starts preaching on the book of Job, and I'm like, yeah, I love when anybody preaches on something I already have a heart connection with, you know. And he boiled it down to this. When God was, when Job was questioning God, why did this happen to me? Why did you let all my kids get killed? Why did I lose all my income? Why did I get boils? Why did this happen? I try to be a good person. I try to do the right thing and blah, 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 blah. And he goes on like that. And finally, God answers him. But interestingly, this guy pointed out today, God didn't say, this is why it happened. He didn't even address the circumstances at all. He just said, okay, brace yourself like a man. Let me ask you some questions. Were you there when I decided how far the oceans should come and when they should stop? Were you there when the world was, and he goes for three chapters, with question after question after question. And the speaker this morning said, do you see what he was doing? He was saying, Job, get your eyes off the circumstance and get your eyes on me. And I'm like, what confirmation for our yearly theme of 2020, behold, but also for our theme this month, One King. This is where our eyes should be. He is Yahweh. He is creator. He is king. He is kinsman redeemer. He is commander of angel armies. He is the beginning. He is the ending. He is the only God there is. He is our rock of shelter. I would say the past 3 months, this old hymn has been running through my heart and spirit that I don't think I'd heard before I heard myself singing it 3 months ago. I don't think I'd heard in years and years. You might know it. If you do, can sing along with me if I'm in your range. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. His oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the overwhelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. There is a place where your peace can be totally secure. His name is Jesus, our one King. Our one King. He doesn't get shifted around. He doesn't get shaken. If anything in 2020 could be shaken, it has been shaken. Again, There's two ways to look at that. It depends on where you're sitting. If you're sitting in the heavenlies, you see it as a gift. God has removed the crutches that I have been leaning on that were not appropriate crutches, that he knew would give way anyway. So he's taken me away from those crutches, and he's reminded me where my peace is secure. If you're sitting in the heavenlies, you can see it that way. If you're not, you can see it a whole different way. I encourage you this week, keep your eyes on your King. Keep your eyes on your King. Before you get out of bed in the morning, take 1 minute, 1 minute, and take a moment to think about who God is and what he has said. Just keep it fun. That's why I love the worship songs that are so God-centered. I love that. And I'm not saying the ones who are more me-focused are bad. I'm just saying I love the ones that look at God. I love those. I love those. Because that never changes. So I encourage you. Listen, I'm not good at meditating. I know Dave says he's good at meditating. I love that about Dave. I'm not good at that. I get distracted very easily. And so I told you a couple of weeks ago how I manage that through journaling and stuff. But there is nothing like stopping for any amount of time, for 60 seconds, and turning my gaze on God. There's nothing that rejuvenates like that. If you have the capacity to worry, you have the capacity to meditate on God. It's the same thing in reverse, that's all. So I encourage you to do that this week. I wish I could give you the title for next week, but can't. Because I don't know it yet. But it's going to be good. I know that because it's from God. So I look forward to seeing you next week. I hope you have a great week. Keep your eyes on the King no matter what. And if you feel so directed by the Spirit, find one thing to celebrate with those who are celebrating and one thing to mourn with those who are mourning. Okay? I love you guys very much. Thanks for coming.